for this mass of the nuptial celebration of the sacrament of matrimony is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Brethren, let wives be subject to their husbands as to the Lord, because a husband is head of the wife, just as Christ is head of the church, being himself Savior of the body. But just as the church is subject to Christ, so also let wives be to their husbands in all things. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church, and delivered himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, cleansing her in the bath of water by means of the word, in order that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she might be holy and without blemish. Even thus ought husbands also to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh. On the contrary, he nourishes and cherishes it, as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body, made from his flesh and from his bones. For this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, I mean in reference to Christ and to the church. However, let each one of you also love his wife as he loves himself, and let the wife respect her husband. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 19, verses 3 to 6. At that time, there came to Jesus some Pharisees testing him and saying, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for any cause?" But he answered and said to them, "Have you not read that the Creator from the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.' Therefore now they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Congratulations. So, in our remarks at the Mass for you, we want to do a little review of what's happened. Explain what God has given you. And then what he expects from you, and what he has given to help you accomplish those things. We, of course, know the seven sacraments. This, of course, is one of them. But as our Lord said right here in this gospel, he said, from the beginning, a man will leave his parents and become one with his wife. That is, from the beginning, our Lord is going back to the beginning, Adam and Eve. God established this foundation to society in the beginning. He saved for himself the giving of the sacrament. So the first thing we have to understand about this great institution, which is the foundation of society, and we all come from it and we all propagate it. This is one of the great mysteries. We have two sacraments. We have the sacrament of holy orders, and we have the sacrament of matrimony, seemingly so different. One dedicated to God through a life of chastity, and another sacrament dedicated to a life of the helping God in the propagation of life. They seem different, but not different. They are so closely joined. Because in the beginning, God wanted that natural establishment of matrimony, Adam and Eve, to be the generator not only of natural life, which it still is today, but supernatural life. That's what he intended. And we know Adam ruined it. So then God said, no, I cannot do that now. I must create a sacrament that will give life and sustain it. That is the priesthood. Well, you see, originally they were one and the same. So we have this natural institution. And what is it? It's a contract. It is a deal that is made between two adults. And what is it that the contract is? The contract is that we, the two of us, are going to unite during our life. I am going to give up everything that I have. I am going to give up everything that I am to entrust it to someone else, and that person is going to say, I accept that. And I, in turn, offer you everything I am. And that is why there's a big procession in. There is the exhortation, the priest outlining what we're about to do. But then comes the sacrament. Now, so I just explained the natural contract. Now our Lord came and gave us sacraments. They are outward signs instituted by Christ to give grace, supernatural, a share in his own Trinitarian life. You know all this. It's review. So now we are not talking about that natural bond, that natural contract. Our Lord has come. He has elevated this institution of marriage that Adam and Eve had and still is in the world today. He elevated, he picked it up and said, I am going to make this now a supernatural contract, and I am going to give it the power and the means to give grace. And each of the sacraments, each of the seven sacraments, have a person who is the minister of the sacrament. That is the person who does the sacrament. Usually it's the priest, sometimes it's a bishop, sometimes it could even be an atheist in the case of baptism in an emergency. But in this sacrament, the ministers, and there are two, the ministers of this sacrament are you, both of you. You are the ministers. The priest here is only the witness for the church, and then he has two other witnesses. They are the witnesses to, and the priest's job is to guarantee that everything is done correctly, so we do have the sacrament. And that is why we have the practice, and that is why you know the words, because you are making the contract. And you say, the priest asks you, you have presented yourselves here. Are we to understand that you are giving each other, yourselves to each other? And then each is asked, is that right? And then you say, yes, I will. I accept this offering. And then you explicitate it and you say, not only am I offering myself, I'm accepting the other one's offering, and I'm explicitating it. I'm telling the details. You repeat the words, I take you. I accept your offering. I take you as my lawful wife, my lawful husband. And I give all the circumstances that may be ahead for us. They don't matter, because I have the sacrament and the pledge of God to help me. That's what's happening. And then as soon as you each do that, that's what's happening right there. That is when the sacrament is given. You are giving the sacrament to each other. It's beautiful. God has set it up that way. Then the priest ratifies this. Because what does he do right then? He blesses you both in the sign of the cross while invoking the Blessed Trinity. We will not go into this aspect of it, except just to mention it, which we heard one of the priests talk about. The greatest of the sacraments, each one has its own unique greatness, but the greatest is the Holy Eucharist, because that is the one that contains our Lord himself. And of course, you're going to be receiving that at this Mass. And we just had the Feast of Corpus Christi, and one of the things that's talked about about the Holy Eucharist is it is a sacrament, but it is also a sacrifice because of the way that it was given to us. Our Lord gave it to us at the Last Supper, and then he gave up his life on the cross. That was the sacrificial part of his giving of his body. And then the sacrament is his giving it to us to share. And the theologians and those who study these things have explained to us that you are like the Blessed Sacrament. Because the sacrament of matrimony is sacrament and sacrifice. Why? Because you each are sacrificing something. You are sacrificing yourselves. That's the greatest thing. Yes, it's hard to give up money and buildings and power and everything else, but the hardest thing to give up is self. And when you come here in this sacrament, you are sacrificing self. You are saying, I am no longer free. No one's forcing me. I'm not being chained and taken away to prison. I willingly want this. I want to give myself to another. That is why to the outsiders, to those who do not understand these words of the Holy Ghost, that's what they are. The words of God given to St. Paul to write for us, and we hear them in the gospel, in the epistle. These are harsh words to those without faith, especially for the wife. Be obedient to your husband in all things? No. Sorry, can't do that. To the pagans, that makes sense. But to Christians, it doesn't. Because the Holy Ghost goes on to say, think of it this way, because this is what it is. You are giving yourself as if the church gives itself to Christ. Who would deny our Lord anything? With the eyes of faith, it's very easy. So for the wife, that's how they think about it. But that's difficult. But what about for the husband? Because then the Holy Ghost goes on to say, what is it for the husband? You, the wife, is like the church. That is why the whole day is built around the bride. It is. We can't argue about that. And everyone loves to see the bride come in great beauty, all dressed up and everything. And because everyone's thinking, they don't know it, but they're just drawn to it. Because it's Christ's church, our mother in the world. And then the Holy Ghost in the epistle goes on to say, for you who are the husbands, whose role is harder? But that seems like a hard job. I have to obey in all things. But the reason why they can do that is because they are relying on the husband to be like Christ. And what is Christ like? That's what Christ is like. That's what love does. It gives everything. That's what you have to do. You have to give everything. Always giving. Always. And you know what happens? Then the wife becomes very confident. It becomes easy to follow. Who has trouble following Christ when he's dying on the cross? We all can follow with that type of self-sacrifice. That's what's happening. Went into that longer than we wanted, but that's good. So you know what it is God's asking. And this, as the exhortation said, the priest raised a trembling hand, you know, these dramatic words, but true. If you ever lose track of these things, then the dangers are there. But as it goes on, it says, but we, on the other hand, have great hope. We do have great hope because we know how well you have prepared. We know all the things that you have done to be ready for this day. In particular, you have, as all people preparing for marriage do, but just to remind us, you have linked this great sacrament of your life with two other ones, the sacrament of penance and soon the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. These three are going to be your special means of salvation. You can never forget this. These are your guarantee of getting to heaven. The sacrament of penance, whenever we have weakness, we are sick spiritually, we can go to a sacrament and receive the medicine to be healed. And then in the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, we receive our Lord himself. We unite with him. We commune with him. We are married to him in the Holy Eucharist. He becomes the source of your own marriage. So all throughout your life, and this moment of matrimony is not here and forgotten. This is only the beginning. This sacrament is with you throughout your whole lives. It only ends, as it says, until death do us part. Because then in heaven we won't need it. But in this life, we need it. And so now, so I've explained what it is, reviewed what this is all about. I want to tell you the things God has given you to help you do this. Because that's important. So I told you, right, these sacraments. And to reinforce it, to help us, we have things called sacramentals. These are outward signs instituted by Christ through his church, and they give grace dependent upon our devotion and other things, the church and minister and everything. And God gives you your own special sacramental just for you. In all the world, it's just yours. Those rings. Those are your sacramentals. You see, the priest blesses them. That makes it a sacramental. It's not just some piece of metal. It is blessed. And you put them on each other. And a sacramental is, as an outward sign, instituted by Christ to the church, gives grace depending on your devotion. And thinking of sometimes that they're put on and you almost can't get them off. That is because it's your constant reminder of God's help. So anytime, and there will be troubles, as the prayers tell us, dangers and things, richer, poorer, health, prosperity, poverty, and just daily temptations. Anything that comes to bother you, kiss your sacramental. God will give you actual graces right then. Invoke. Say to God, God, help me. And the sacramental grace, now I'm talking about the sacrament matrimony, will give you grace at that moment. The sacramental will help you to access those graces. You have other helps if you can ever. This Mass is your Mass. Many of these things we say to everybody because it's the same. Some things are uniquely your own. But this Mass is your Mass. It's the Mass for your wedding day. This is your introit. This is your epistle, your gospel, all these prayers. Anytime you want, you can pick it up. This could be your prayer. Because the other thing that helps you is prayer. And you have asked about prayer. What prayers should I say? And we gave prayers, which we ourselves say. Tremendous prayers. Each person has his own prayers. Some are for all. But the prayers that we gave you are prayers that strike us and many people because they're prayers in need. Look down upon me, good and gentle Jesus, while before thy face I humbly kneel. I need help. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, to thee, O blessed Joseph, we have recourse in our affliction. So those are great prayers, but they're long prayers. We need the book to say them. So we want to give you simple, because you have the great models of the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, dedicating especially at the end everything to the Blessed Virgin Mary. As she looked out for our Lord, she'll look out for you. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I give you my heart and my soul. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, assist me in my last agony. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, let me breathe forth my soul in peace with you. And you can just say Jesus, Mary, and Joseph throughout the day. So the prayer and the sacraments, those are your helps. Two other prayers. You want to start every morning with the morning offering, as we do on our knees. It's not humiliating to say. And at the end of the day, the act of contrition. I recall an old woman talking about her own marriage and saying that there was one thing. You might recall there's a question, do you place any conditions on this marriage? I don't know if you remember that. Now, I'm not saying this woman did place this as a condition, but she did ask the fiancé. I just want to ask one question. Can we never go to sleep at night angry? And he agreed, and that's what they did. That's the act of contrition to God. You might want to practice that too. And as we talk about this, we, of course, here in this chapel, which we've been here for many years, we have had the, with all of our people, but we can recall so many things in your life. We know you so well. We know you from infancy. I speak for the priests, really, because we do know all this, and the princess way that you have, what I'm talking about when you were little. So many things, and it's funny because the priest does not live with the people, but just by seeing them, we get to know them. Just the anecdotes. And so we know those things. We've seen your own. By the way, it's just for everybody. It's a wonderful thing because things that no one would have seen. Not that it was hidden, but just moments like getting out of a car to come into church, just walking by and seeing the affection for someone in need. Now, what that does to the priest, of course, the priest sees that and understands that's a quality of this person. But you know what else? It also reminds the priest That is what our Heavenly Father is like. He sees everything. He knows all the little things that no one else sees that we do. And we know of your dedication to the faith. We know how you sacrifice much to get a Catholic education. All of these hard things, and enough, we know. So when we see all that, we have great hope. We know that, oh, by the way, this sacrament, again, I'm going back to the sacrament. This is a sacrament. God, when God created this sacrament, he's thinking of many people, but, you know, he has an infinite mind. He can do it. He's thinking of you. He's thinking of the two of you. He's thinking of this moment. He's instituting the sacrament for you. He is, from eternity, thinking of who it is he wants you to marry. And you had in your mind the things that you wanted about that person because you have a priority, because you must be all, both of you, one in mind and in heart. That's what you wanted. And then we know you too. We do not know you as long, but we know you and we know who you are. And we know you are that person that God has chosen to be the means of helping each other to salvation. You are that person. And we know how you have sacrificed, how much time and effort you had to spend to learn about the faith. And we know, not because we've seen it ourselves, but we have heard it, about how you were, even from your youth, how you were a good person, somebody that others respected and could see the goodness in you. We know that. We have got the chance to witness it. So we know what's in you. We know what you are capable of. And we have great hope for what can come in the future from the both of you together. Because when you are given the ideal, as it's a hard thing to follow, but when you're given the ideal of who you are to imitate, Christ on the cross, we know you can do it. He has given you the means to do it. So, as we conclude now our remarks, there's so many things in this Mass that we have to leave for your own prayerful consideration, because, again, most of it is for the bride, but talking about all the great saintly women from the past, you know, be the love of the husband as Rachel was. I can't explain. Just say this. He had to work. Jacob had to work 14 years to gain the hand of Rachel. Rebecca, in her great wisdom. Sarah, the great promise. These are all... The prayer is all invoking that for you. And we invoke all these things for you too, and we're going to continue with the Mass. But when you receive Holy Communion, our Lord in the Holy Eucharist, you want to express, first of all, your thanks. Thank you, God, for blessing us. Thank you. And then asking him, you can ask anything you want, any prayers you want, but ask him, yes, help us to come to heaven. That's what it's all about. It's the road to heaven. And that's going to be our prayer for you. And anytime, you all know this, and all the people know, anytime you need any help from us or anything, you just want to talk, you know you can always come to us. So for all the priests, the brothers, the sisters, and everyone, we wish you the best. Congratulations and our prayers for always, that we all will celebrate in heaven one day. May God bless you.